Good evening. Good to see you. We're using the paperback red Sankey hymn book tonight. Let's sing together 10-5-5. 10-5-5. Father, we come this evening and we commit the next hour to your glory and for your honour. Lord, we have before us a wonderful reminder of the variety in taste, in texture, in appearance of the wonderful things you gave us to eat. And Lord, though it be a simple point, perhaps a trifling point to some, Lord, we thank you for food. It could have been bland, it could have just been like a vitamin pill, but Lord, you made it pleasurable. It's part of the wonderful common grace that we all enjoy. And Lord, as we heard this morning, we repeat now, we thank you for earthly physical food, but Lord, we also pray for spiritual food. We pray that from the riches of your words, tonight we might feast. We pray that we might hear the very Spirit of God talking to his people. Lord, we pray like those men, women, and children who witnessed the loaves and the fish multiply, that we might eat and be satisfied. And so, Lord, join with us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing together again, number 13. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, a passage we've been looking at in the Bible study lately. Noah has come out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Amen. Let's have a time of open prayer.
Father, we come once more to celebrate our harvest Thanksgiving. Just thank you, Father, for your continuous provision for us. Yeah, Father, unfailing, year after year, you provide for our needs. And such a variety of things that is available to us. Yeah, Father, you can come to you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your word.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that seed time and harvest, cold and summer and winter will not cease. Lord, thank you that we can stand on your promises. And Lord, we know that this world is in trouble. Lord, we know that things are happening. And Lord, but thank you that your word is steadfast. Lord, past, present and future, we can stand on your promises, and we give you thanks and praise for that. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, Heavenly Father, in the midst of our plenty, we remember those who do not have your harvest. Those people who ought to have your harvest, but because of wicked men, because of circumstances, they are hungry. Lord, help us to do what we can.
Let's sing number 10 together, number 10. Would you turn to Matthew's Gospel? The sixth chapter. And as has become my custom these last few weeks, I shall read from verse 9. 6th chapter of Matthew, the 9th verse. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Perhaps rather predictably, I'm going to take that expression, give us this day our daily bread. It's a very simple phrase. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer by heart or by rote, and the words trip easily off our lips. But what is it we mean? What is it we ought to mean by that phrase, give us this day our daily bread? Well, is it asking for physical bread? God designed you with a belly, and that belly needs feeding. Let me read to you from the same chapter, but later on. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. And here the Lord Jesus is quite clear that God provides us with our physical needs. Now, I mentioned before in my prayer the phrase common grace. And grace we know to be the undeserved kindness of God. And theologians sometimes talk about common grace and special or saving grace. If you have been born again, if your sin has been forgiven, the special grace of God has been at work in your heart, drawing you to Christ, drawing you away from sin. Praise God for the grace by which we are saved. None of us may boast. And yet, even those who reject God, either through ignorance or willful rebellion, are still the recipients of the goodness of heaven. Again, I prayed it, but I mean it, and I make the point again. Behold these different fruits and vegetables. I know some of them are tinned, but the principle is still there. God did not have to make the vast array of flavors. He did so because he is kind and he is generous, even to those of us who do not know him. His common grace gives us lovely weather, beautiful landscapes that we may enjoy. He gives it free of charge. And yet I think the Lord here in the 6th of Matthew is deliberately and purposefully addressing his people, they who have received the special saving grace. He draws a distinction between the Gentiles in verse 32, by which I think he means all unbelievers rather than they who are simply not of Jewish stock, and those whom God has called and whom God has saved. He will provide for you those physical needs that you have. I once had something of a fallout with another pastor. Well, I wasn't a pastor then, but he was. But we were of a similar age. The older I get, the more pastors I fall out with. I don't know if that's probably a bad thing, but there you go. And he argued that we should never pray for physical things, but only spiritual things. To pray for, help with bills, for example, well, that's wrong. It's carnal. It's worldly. And when the Lord talks about daily bread here, clearly he means spiritual food. Well, I think he does mean that, but not only that. The God whom we serve will provide you with all the food and all the drink and all the clothing you need until such time as you do not have an earthly body. And one day he'll provide you with a new one of those as well. He will provide for your physical needs. He will do that. He may use other people in the church. He may use his own providence. But the God whom we serve will not see you go hungry. Give us this day our daily bread. And God made a promise to Noah with the whole of creation, even with the animals and the birds, that while the earth remains, there will be seed time and there will be harvest. There will be cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, and they will not stop while the earth endures. However, we ought to note, the prayer asks for bread, not caviar. It asks for bread, not smoked salmon. It asks for bread, not fancy cuisine. The God who will provide for your needs will not always provide the things you want. Not in this life. It is a wonderful act of kindness on God's part. And I can say this with all sincerity, that he has not given me what I wanted. At the time, I thought if he was gracious, he'll give me it. The wiser I grow in Christ, the more I realize that his saying no is often far better for me than his saying yes. God will provide for what we need. But we are called heirs and co-heirs with Christ. In other words, our inheritance has not yet come. The prodigal son, he wanted the inheritance now. He would have got it anyway. In fact, he would have got more of it had he not squandered it. All he had to do was patiently wait. But he wanted it now, and he severed that wonderful relationship with his own father, which the father himself restored. And we must learn from that. The day is coming when you will be considered
cosmic royalty by the very angels of heaven. The angels of heaven will be in awe of you. That the great God should deign to love the likes of us and exalt us to such a high station in the heavenly economy. But we do not enjoy the full benefits of that now. In the world, we may be looked down upon and despised, a people of no account. One day, we shall enjoy the wedding feast of the Lamb. Until then, we are content with plain bread. And yet, my pastor friend spoke truth. This is not just a request to have food. He did indeed provide for Elijah at the brook Cherith. But he provided for Elijah much more. In the 4th of Matthew, when Satan demands he turns loaves to bread, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The people of the world eat, drink, and are merry because tomorrow they know they die. And they have nothing to hope for. We have everything to hope for. And it's not a wishy-washy, fingers crossed, hoping for the best. Our hope is based upon the promises of God himself, who said, "Where I go, you shall follow. I go to prepare a place for you." So it is more, I think, than merely asking for provision. I probably don't share enough anecdotes when I preach. Let me share one with you now. I have a friend over in Morecambe whose grandmother was in the Salvation Army. And this story was passed down, and I do believe it. And she didn't have enough money for food. I believe she was single. It's around 1890. She has nothing in the house, and she has no money with which to buy a meal. And so she prayed, "Lord, I have nothing to eat. Please will you provide?" And so she walks along, I think it was Euston Road in Morecambe. And there, in the middle of the road, was an egg. Why had it not broken? Why had somebody not gathered it up? Why was it on the road that she happened to be there? Well, she considered that to be the divine provision of her God. Oh, it wouldn't fill her for long. There were no toast soldiers neatly cut up right next to it. But when you're hungry, you thank God for an egg. God does and will provide for you physically. But we also require spiritual food. The world will tell you, you are just a body. Oh, an animated body, no doubt. But you are just a blob of cells and molecules and atoms. But we proclaim you are more than that. You have a spirit within you that will live forever. And one day the body will die. No matter how well fed it is, it will die and it will be buried, but you will not be there. You will go to be with Christ, which is better by far. And we understand, I think, we the people of God, that if I am to be physically strong, I must take good food. Yet if I am to be spiritually strong, I must eat food also. The spiritually dead do not take spiritual food because they have no way of digesting it. They feel they have no need of it. But we who have been made alive in Christ must continue to feed and drink and eat. Well, what do I mean by that? Clearly, to feed the Spirit is not to take a particular morsel and put it into the mouth and swallow it into the stomach and thereafter. What is spiritual food? Well, I've alluded to it already. It is reading and studying and meditating upon God's words. That is spiritual food. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The words of God have been recorded in this book, which is why we refer to it as the Word of God, the words of God. When we pray, we partake of spiritual food. When we fellowship together, we partake of spiritual food. When we hear faithful preaching, we partake of spiritual food. If a Christian does not do those, or do them regularly, or do them sincerely, he or she will become weak and faint. Boring people share with you their dieting. I am a boring person. A few years ago, some of my suits began to shrink. Down in our downstairs toilet, I kid you not, a button on my waistcoat pinged off, hit the mirror, and hit me in the eye. If ever Providence was telling me I ought to eat less, it happened here at the chapel. And so I decided to eat less. And perhaps I went about it with more enthusiasm and more haste than I should have done. I lost weight rather quickly. But you know the interesting thing? I came home from work one day, having not eaten. And I got home and I thought, now, what was it I was meant to do when I got in? It was to eat. I had managed to switch off my hunger. I've been drinking plenty, but I've not eaten for about 30 hours. But I wasn't hungry. I wasn't hungry. And I know some Christians who don't read God's word, they don't pray, they don't fellowship, they don't hear preaching, and they're still not hungry. I don't want to be over dramatic, but when you're not eating and you're not hungry, you're dying. And I believe, in one respect, it's possible to claim to be a Christian, but to be spiritually dying, because you are not feeding your spirit. So when the Lord urged us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it is not just "give me a meal or a fine breakfast. Lord, I have no money. I need an egg in the middle of the road." It's, "Lord, feed me spiritually, for I hunger and I thirst." Again, note the plainness of the request. Bread really is staple food. Honest and plain. Oh, you might apply butter, you may put on some jam. But plain old-fashioned bread is the food that the Lord included in that prayer. Perhaps I'm giving you too many anecdotes tonight. But a year or two ago, I came out of hospital and a friend said I wasn't allowed to drive. A friend took me to their family home. And I'd not been able to eat for a period before this procedure. And she said, "I know just what you need." She cooked egg and chips. Two fried egg and a plate full of chips. And I tell you, that seemed like the best food I'd ever eaten. And it's possible, I think, even in a church, to be told about this and told about that. And it's a wonderful, great performance. But deep down, we crave, we need good and plain, old-fashioned fare. I love it when someone enters this pulpit and without any fuss or distraction, they just tell us the plain old gospel. There is much spiritual excitement that God himself could give us. God could, with just a simple command, require an angel or two to visit us tonight. Wow. The place would be awash with light. The brilliance and the beauty of this angel, you would never forget. I also know we'd go home and we'd tell our friends, and the week after, we would be jam-packed. But he hasn't given that command. We know in the Old Testament, and even in the temple, God sometimes filled the place with his own glory, the Shekinah. I don't see that tonight. In the New Testament, we hear of, or we read of gospel preaching being affirmed by signs and wonders. I've prayed for the sick, and the Lord has sometimes made them well again. I can't claim it was a sign or a wonder. but I can sing. Day after day, he has given me all the strength I need. He has given me all the grace I need. He's supported me and never let me fall. And I know many of you can say the same. Tonight, we ask not for angelic visitation. We ask not that the glory of God itself be manifest in our midst. I don't even ask for wonders and mighty miracles to be performed. I say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. When we get to heaven, there'll be a myriad angels to behold. And you won't just see the glory of the presence of God, you will see the face of God. But until then, give us this day our daily bread. It does mean physical strength and provision. It does mean spiritual strength and provision. And yet there is a third sense of the expression. In the sixth chapter of John, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Well, does he mean that here? He doesn't indicate it. Give us this day our daily bread. And yet again, the Lord said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And in that particular verse, verse 51 of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, he is alluding to the manna which fell. So when the people of Israel left behind the slavery and bondage of Egypt, and they made that rather torturous journey to the promised land, God miraculously provided for them quail to eat and manna. And we're told in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 31, the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like white coriander seeds, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And every morning, when the Israelites arose, there was manna on the ground waiting for them to collect. And there's a rather wonderful passage that says that those who collected too much, thinking themselves smart, saving themselves the bother of getting up the next day, perhaps of stockpiling it, making themselves rich, it was uneatable. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking for more of him. More. More about Jesus. That is what we want. I don't want more church. I don't want more religion. I don't want more theologians. I want more Christ. Christ is the one upon whom we feed . We're not having communion tonight. It would have been a logistical difficulty, I'm sure you'd agree. But in that Last Supper, he took bread and said, "This is my body." He was not speaking literally, for he also said, "I am the door." And yet bread is the picture of Christ. And when we take that bread, we take it together, and that bread goes into us and becomes a part of us. We are in Christ, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's important, I think, to realize that the real bread that we desire and need is the Lord Jesus himself. It's not more of the pastor. It's not Mary. It's not a saint. It's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. The more of him you have, the more of him you want. The more you love him, the more you want to love him. The gospel is all about the beloved. Give us this day. Yes, our physical needs, the fulfillment of them. Yes, give us this day spiritual nourishment that we might be strong. But also, give us this day our daily portion of Christ himself. I've made this point previously, but I make it again. It is not me asking for my bread, but us asking for our bread. We are a community of God's people. Oh, there are other pockets, other communities of God's people around, of which we are a small part of a wider, worldwide movement. But I am not just praying that I might have spiritual bread and more of Christ. I'm praying that you might have it as well. That our families might have it. That those with whom we live and work might have it. The people we pass in the street might have this wonderful bread, this bread of life. There's also a timescale. Give us this day our daily bread. There is a daily portion of manna. Yesterday's is gone. Tomorrow's is not here. Give us this day our daily bread. Have you ever come across a believer who's living in the past? They can remember the golden days. They can remember the former temple. They can remember this ministry or that ministry. They once served with enthusiasm. Where are they now? He is the God of the living, not of the dead. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need sustenance and strength now. I know you'll provide for tomorrow, and you have provided for yesterday, but Lord, I need bread now. I want bread now. I want my Christ now. Though right now we'll not see him in all his glory and his beauty. But we might still desire more of him. And we do have that frequency, daily bread. Some people consider church to be a kind of a weekly shot in the arm. And yet we walk with the Lord daily. Our appointment with the Saviour is not once every 7 days. Day after day, should we meet with him in prayer. Day after day, should we hear his voice in Scripture. Day after day, do we feast upon the riches of his grace. O Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Let me close by summing up. If you do have a physical need, take it to the Lord in prayer. He can and he will provide. If you're spiritually weak, ask for spiritual food, and you'll find it by reading and meditating and acting upon God's word in praying to him. Not just talking about him, but praying to him. But I would also urge you, seek more of Jesus Christ himself. It's not a religion we preach or an organization. It is a one, a being, a God-man whom we seek more of. Let's close by singing 593. 593. And I'm sure Bill will play the tune through for us.
Once was constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything. Once 'twas busy planning, now 'tis trustful prayer. Once 'twas anxious caring, now he has the care. Once 'twas what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once 'twas constant asking, now 'tis ceaseless praise. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything. Once it was my working, his it end shall be. Once I tried to use him, now he uses me. Once the power I wanted, now the mighty one. Once for self I labored, now for him alone. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know he's mine. Once my lambs were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now his coming hail. And my hopes are anchored, safe within the veil. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything.
Amen. Let's say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen.